Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We actually live from his voice. If you could picture it this way, his voice is what releases life into us. It is his voice. And regardless of how well you evaluate your capacity to hear, you hear constantly.
Hi, I'm Eric Johnson, a pastor and senior leader here at Bethel in Redding, California. TBN has long been a friend of our Bethel family, and it's an honor to share our teaching, our worship, and the Bethel culture with you here on the TBN network. I firmly believe that media and technology will enable us to reach all generations and all areas of the world with the gospel. It's amazing when we partner together how much we can expand our reach. I hope you're enjoying our latest series on the theme, Holy Spirit. Focusing on God's presence is one of our core values here at Bethel. We love soaking in his presence and inviting the Spirit to transform us into the image of Christ. If you're looking to grow further in your understanding of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to check out our Bethel Revival resources, Ignite the Presence, Awaken Holy Spirit, and the powerful book, Hosting the Presence. I believe these resources will enrich your walk with God as you discover more about his empowering and transformative presence. I pray that you'll be encouraged by today's sermon.
In Mark 14 is a story of Jesus walking on water. And I look at this story oftentimes and think it's amusing and funny. Because Jesus is walking on the water and the disciples are terrified. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, which seems to be what Jesus says whenever you really should be afraid. It's kind of like whenever he says that, you know you're in a situation that's rough, you know. And he says, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter says, if it's really you, bid me to come. Jesus says, come, and he gets out and walks on water. There's something about the voice of the Lord. Everybody in this room is born again because you heard him speak. All of us, none of us were born again because we sought the Lord. We're all born again because we were sought by the Lord. He spoke, our hearts came alive, we responded. Everybody in this room can hear the voice of God. It's the only way you can get born again. We tend to evaluate how well we hear, and certainly all of us want to hear better. I get that. I count me in that number. But oftentimes we evaluate our capacity to hear, and we measure our success in hearing from God on our ability and not his ability. If I'm speaking to somebody who doesn't hear well, I talk louder. I make sure they're looking at me. I do something to reinforce the fact that I want to be heard by them. The point is, I take it upon myself to be heard. In another illustration, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? So God is the how much more God. Yes, amen. So there's these basic functions that we do in life. It's called common sense. It's called common courtesy. And so when we have someone that doesn't hear well, we make sure we get their attention. We look them in the eye. They read our lips. We speak loud enough. It's just what you do to be heard. The goal isn't to keep them in mystery. The goal is to keep them in conversation. Yes, amen. The goal is to engage. And if I would do that, if you would do that, how much more would God make sure that when we need to hear, he makes sure we can read his lips. He makes sure we can read the context, the situation that we are in, so that everything around us reinforces what he wants to make sure we hear. And so we have this moment in Peter's life, in the disciples' life, where Jesus is on the water. Peter said, if it's really you, which to me is just a weird conversation, but if it's really you, bid me to come. Well, anything that's out there can say come, but something happened when Jesus said come, because his words never just touch us on an intellectual level. They actually pierce the soul. It was the way the voice of God was measured is because it was not just an idea. God speaks not just to increase our understanding. It's valid. It's important. But he speaks actually to release transformation into us. Every word of God is the sperm of God. It carries the DNA of God. And every time his word is heard, every time we respond to what he says, there's something of his nature that becomes manifest in us. He deposits something in us that is to become fully manifest as a perfect representation of who Jesus is, perfectly representing the Father. And so his voice is always to make deposit for the purpose of transformation. He's never just holding conversation in the sense of wanting to just keep dialogue going, just wanting to make us smarter. I'm not sure God's that concerned about our intelligence. I think he's a lot more concerned about our surrender, our yieldedness. Faith, as you know, doesn't come out of striving. It comes out of surrender. And so he brings us to this place of rest because that's where faith functions. When I'm anxious is when I am prone to be presumptuous. It's when I walk into peace that faith is activated and can function. And anything that's done outside of peace is not pleasing to the Lord. It's actually sin, according to Scripture. So the issue of functioning in faith, the issue of, if I can take it a second generation thought, the issue of functioning in rest is central to walking in the Spirit. One of the most important things you and I can do in our life is protect our peace. When the peace is gone, when the anxiety is there, or the anger, or the whatever it might be, what I have to do is I have to back up in my day. How long have I been dealing with this? How long has this been going on? And I didn't give it any attention. And I go, okay, it's been since 9 o'clock this morning. I got that phone call. And God, I can see I became anxious in the phone call, which basically means I feared what could happen would be outside of your observation and your concern. And so my fear, my embracing of anxiety was actually me questioning your quality as a father over my life. So repentance is needed when we see that being exposed to us, that God, again, you've showed me your goodness over and over and over again, and yet in this moment I became so fearful and so careless, and really the root of it, I can see it right now, I was questioning your heart as a father over me. And so what you do, you go back to your moment where peace wasn't ever taken from us, and we just exchanged it. We made a transaction. And so we exchanged peace for anxiety. So we go back in repentance and take back what God gave us as an eternal inheritance. Peace is power. Peace is power. It's so different in the kingdom of God than it is in our world. You know the language of peace. You know that peace is more than no noise. It's not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of, I mean, we define it as absence of conflict, absence of war, absence of noise. But peace for us is the presence of a person. And so this peace actually does fine in the midst of war, conflict, and noise. It is superior because it is not subject to its environment. It actually has authority over the environment. It actually has the capacity to influence the environment so that the war stops, so the noise comes to a place of rest, or the conflict reconciliation happens. This process that the disciples went through, Jesus was training them to live from what he said. Remember, man does not live by bread alone. I want to take you on a little journey here, so just work hard to follow me if you would. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We actually live from his voice. If you could picture it this way, his voice is what releases life into us. It is his voice. And regardless of how well you evaluate your capacity to hear, you hear constantly. it would be better to assume you hear well than to criticize your ability to hear. Because if you hear well, if you believe that you hear well, then you're at least leaning in the right direction. But if you think you don't hear well, your focus is off of him and onto your gift. So Jesus is talking in John 6, very famous chapter. It's where he taught the most offensive sermon of his career. It is Church Growth 101. There's probably 15,000 people there. This is one of the places where the food was multiplied and they only counted the men, but there's women and children. Which, by the way, before the day of Pentecost, they only counted the men. From the day of Pentecost on, they counted women and men and women. There's a reason for that. So Jesus is talking in this great chapter, and this is the chapter where people become so offended they leave. And let's just assume there is 15,000 people. And over the course of this sermon, he says, you have to eat my flesh. They start arguing with one another. This is gross. Things were going so well. And then he sees they're arguing, so he just kind of ups it a notch, and he says, not only that, you have to drink my blood, you know. And so every time they start getting mad at each other and fighting and getting angry with him and leaving, he would just up it a notch. And he just didn't seem to want to draw people into a relationship with him so they'd be blessed. Blessing is the product. It's not the purpose. And so he brought this message, and it divided the crowd, but he wasn't careless, because he only says what the Father's saying. So he gets to the end of this, you know, 65, 70 verses, something like that in this chapter. And we get right to the end of this thing, and it says this crowd, they had even his disciples had a hard time with this. So everybody leaves, and Jesus turns to his disciples, and he says, you guys going too? So remember, this is Church Growth, 15,000 member mega church. In one sermon, drops to 12 people. Take notes. This is how you find out who's really with you. Because, you know, as long as people are healed, the dead are raised, the food's being multiplied, I mean, you don't even have to have faith to enjoy that crowd. You know, you're in a good place. You're in a place where you get to benefit from everything that's going on. People are happy. They're friendly. Everybody's having a wonderful time. So Jesus decides to draw a line in the sand. When he does so, people began to choose. They were forced to choose. So anyway, he turns to the 12. He says, you guys are going? Peter speaks up. And this is one of the times that maybe some of us have not given him the credit for the profound answer that he gave. Because he nailed it again. We know he got many things wrong. That's why we like him, because most of us identify with him. But Jesus says, are you going too? And Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. When you speak, I come alive inside. I'm going to put my own language in here to explain what I see happening. It's like Peter saying, I don't know what you meant to teach all of us any more than the crowd that left. I don't understand it. What I do know is that even though I don't understand what you said, I am alive inside because I've heard you say it. Life is imparted. Jesus explained this about four verses earlier, because he said, my words to your spirit, and that spirit gives life. My words are spirit. So here's Jesus, the word of God made flesh. But now whenever he speaks, the word of God is made spirit. So when he talks, words actually become presence. That's really huge. That's really huge. That's why it can say he sent his word and healed them.
Right now, Bill Johnson's four-part audio series, Ignite the Presence, is yours in thanks for any gift of support to TBN. And for a gift of $115 or more, we'll send you Awaken Holy Spirit, a five-part DVD series from some of your favorite Bethel pastors and teachers, plus Bill Johnson's powerful book, Hosting the Presence. Call or go online now to share a gift and request these powerful resources on the Holy Spirit and how you can embrace and partner with Him more fully in your life.
The Lord spoke to me really strongly that I want you to do at coding school, and I'll take care of the job if you follow through. After Bethel Tech, I got the call to come out here to the Bay Area and start my apprenticeship with IBM. And the Lord wants to do what He did with Daniel. He wants to put His kids that carry His spirit into the most influential places in the world.
Back to the story in the boat. Peter says, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, come. I'd like to suggest he wouldn't have gotten out of the boat for a ghost, for some strange spirit that's walking on the water that's conversing with them, because that by itself was terrifying them. But when he said, come, something pierced through the storm, through the confusion, through all the turmoil of the moment they're in, and he came alive inside, and he walked on the water. We know he saw the wind, the waves, and he began to sink, but the point was he got out, and he walked on the word come. The word of God is empowering. It enables. James put it this way in chapter 1, I think it's verse 20, 19 or 20. He says, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. So think through this verse. First of all, he's writing this to people who are already born again. So when he says this is able to save your souls, he's not talking about their conversion. He's talking about their transformation. He's not talking about their conversion. He's talking about their transformation. He's talking about them being conformed into this likeness of Jesus. And so James, it says, in humility, so that's soil condition, that's heart, soil condition. In humility, receive the word, that's the sperm of God. Receive that freshly spoken word implanted into tender soil. Our job is soil. The life is not in the soil. I know there's nutrients in soil, but the life is in the seed. The life of God is in what He said. It is in what He said. It is in the words He spoke to you when He called you to be a pastor, when He sent you into the business world, when He brought you and your spouse together. That word that you heard, His nature is contained and revealed in what He said. And yielding to what He says actually manifests Jesus through us. Forgive the analogy because it may be offensive to some, but I really do think this illustrates this point better than any story in the Bible. The angel of the Lord shows up to Mary and says, you're going to give birth to the Christ child. She says, how can this be? I'm still a virgin. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. I'm not sure that helped her understand how it was going to happen any more than a moment earlier. But anyway, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And then she responded, she said, be it unto me according to your word. So what did she do? She actually yielded tender heart, tender soil, no rocks, no other plants planted there, tender heart, only for the word of God. The heart is only for the word. Tender heart, the angel spoke the word of the Lord, and she said, be it unto me according to your word. Her receiving of the word of the Lord eventually manifested Jesus. And I realize we don't have the same role, but yet we do. The manifestation of Jesus through your life and my life is entirely dependent upon our surrender to the word of God. Entirely dependent upon us, hearing, receiving, yielding to what God has said. Jack Taylor, I was a part of an event that he did many years ago, and he took us to this passage in Luke chapter 1, and it's a part of that story where Mary was visited by the angel, then Elizabeth was visited by the angel, or the word to Zacharias came, and Elizabeth became pregnant. So it's this section of the story. And it's a verse that we all know because it's quoted often, and rightfully so. It's one of those high standard verses that need to be repeated and declared. But the verse is, nothing shall be impossible with God. Say that with me. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Say it again. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Sometimes we just need to declare that. Sometimes we actually just need to say it. Do you remember when John the Baptist was prophesied over by his dad, Zacharias? He prophesied over him. He's prophesying over him about his destiny. He's 8 days old. How much of that word did he understand? None. How much did he remember? Zero. It just needed to be spoken. Some things just need to be spoken. They just need to be spoken. Reinhard Bonnke made a statement here. I heard it in the last year or so. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, the word of God through his lips are as powerful as the word of God through Jesus' lips. I'm glad he said it, not me, because I would be called a blasphemer if I said it. But think through it. It's the power of the word. The vessel is not the significant part. You understand, Jesus is the Son of God. You're with me on that one, because I have said that more in the last few years than in all of my life combined. All right, so here's this verse. Nothing shall be impossible with God. And Jack took us into a word study of this verse. It's helped me so much. It's verse, I think, 53, somewhere in there, 54. Nothing is actually made of two words. It's the word no, but it's the word things, the word rhema. Rhema is often translated as or implied to be that freshly spoken word of God. It is not that which is in print. It is that which is spoken, is that which is highlighted. And for anyone who is new, just understand, when the Lord speaks to us, it must be consistent with what is written. So no new books of the Bible. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Just want to cover all my bases here. I don't mind offending, but I want it to be for a good reason. Sorry. Anyway, it's taking a long time. I said I was going to talk short, and I'm just dragging out every story. Nothing, no rhema, is impossible with God. The word impossible means without ability. So this is how the verse can be translated, and this has helped me more than I can explain. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. Now that is consistent with James, who said, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Let me put it in transformation language. Which is able to make you like Jesus. Where is the ability? The ability is in the seed. The power, the life is in the seed. Environment is important. If you're planting a garden, the soil is important. The watering, the sunlight, all those things have value. But if there's no life in the seed, none of those things will work. And sometimes we do everything right externally to get a great breakthrough, but because there's no life in the seed we carry, nothing happens, just a form of revival, but not the breakthrough that we have longed for. It's hearing the word of the Lord and acting upon what he has said brings breakthrough.
One of the great privileges of the Christian walk is that the living Holy Spirit works in and through us as we become more like Christ. In Bill Johnson's four-part audio series, Ignite the Presence, you'll learn how to become so filled with His Spirit that it overflows into your daily life and to the people around you.
Your privilege in life is to reveal the Father. But I'd like to suggest to you, it's impossible to do adequately without being filled with the Spirit.
Right now, this series is yours, and thanks for any gift of support to the outreaches of TBN. And if you're able to share a gift of $115 or more, we'll also send you Awaken Holy Spirit, a five-part DVD series with some of your favorite Bethel teachers, plus Bill Johnson's powerful book, Hosting the Presence. Call or go online now to request these powerful resources on the Holy Spirit and how you can embrace and partner with Him more fully in your life. Call 800-339-1601 or share your gift online when you visit tbn.org/ignite.
The Lord spoke to me really strongly that I want you to do at coding school, and I'll take care of the job if you follow through. After Bethel Tech, I got the call to come out here to the Bay Area and start my apprenticeship with IBM. And the Lord wants to do what He did with Daniel. He wants to put His kids that carry His Spirit into the most influential places in the world.
Perhaps you're watching this today and you do not know Jesus. You have never surrendered your life to Him. Up until this point, you have been the king of your own life. And something inside of you right now is wanting to change that. Jesus died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven and we would spend eternity with Him. If you're watching right now and you want to be a part of His story and for Him to become the king of your life, then pray with me. Jesus, right now, I am surrendering my entire life and being to You. I am asking You to forgive my sins and to be my Lord and Savior. From this day on, I am leaving my life and I am following You. I pray that You guide me and lead me in Your ways. Amen.